Jeremiah stood on a street in Jerusalem and gave one of his typical, strong, and pointed sermons. People rushed around him with the business of the day. Some stopped for a while to listen, while others passed on too busy. This day's message focused on the theme that people had gone after gods, quote, which are not gods. Nothing like this had been seen among the Gentile nations, people changing their gods. Yet God's chosen people, Israel, had done just that. You're listening to Longitude. It's Monday, March 10th, 2008. I'm Darris McNeely. The people of Judah had forsaken their God. The result was a spiritual restlessness reflected in many social problems that seemingly had no solution. The cause of the problem was twofold. Jeremiah summed it up in one sentence. He said, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." I thought of this passage recently when I read the U.S. Religious Landscape Survey done by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. We've discussed the details of this in the part one of this series. The survey says that the United States is 78% Christian, and the majority Protestant segment, about 51%, is about to lose its majority. More than 25% of American adults have left the faith of their childhood for another religion or no religion at all. And when moves from the many branches of Protestantism are considered, this number rises to 44%, and many feel this figure is very low and needs further study. One sociologist commented that there's a dropping confidence in organized religion, especially in traditional religious forms. Many adults are moving from one faith to another, from one denomination to another, in search of something they find missing from religion. Let me suggest what that missing dimension might be. It can be found in Jeremiah's sermon, back in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 11, beginning in verse 11. American religion, like that of ancient Judah, has forsaken the true God. They have gone after other gods in the form of teachings, beliefs, and religion that is not the faith delivered by Christ and the church he founded. Today's churches are not based on the true teachings of the Bible. They resemble in faith and doctrine the pagan religions of the ancient world more than they do the Church of God described in the book of Acts. The churches on American streets model a form of baptized paganism more than they do the profound and dramatic teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. American religious leaders have carved into the bedrock of society broken cisterns that cannot hold the waters of biblical truth. Like water from a cracked jug, the life of religion has seeped out, leaving hollow shells that do not satisfy the deep spiritual needs of this generation. The people who flow into and out of the church buildings every week are not always finding the answers to the burning issues of their lives. The church on the corner may provide a nice sermon and good music. People may flock in to attend social events, ball games, and classes on health or finance. See, today's mega churches provide a total lifestyle program for today's audience. But scratch this shallow surface and look at the core beliefs, and they'll not square with the Bible and the teachings that are found there. In the end, people are not spiritually satisfied, not really way down deep. This is the cause of the spiritual unrest reflected in this survey. Broken cisterns can be repaired. The solution lies in a return to biblical truth, restoring the true faith, what the book of Jude calls the faith once delivered, is the first step in achieving meaning in life and answers to the big questions. There is a cure for spiritual restlessness. It begins by worshiping God in spirit and in truth. If America is a religious nation, why has our society seen such overwhelming transformation of foundational institutions? For years, many have chronicled the decline of morality in the popular culture. Politicians, clergy, and business executives, to name only a few, have come under the withering satire and denigration of movies, music, and television. Marriage and traditional gender roles have been redefined before the drowsy eyes of a public amused into a near coma. The past 40 years have seen great social changes take place in the country. In all of this, where were the churches? Why hasn't religion, with all of its mega churches and modern marketing techniques, stirred the country to another great awakening? Could it be that they've been asleep and that they lack the true power of the Holy Spirit? In the wake of the impeachment and sex scandals of President Bill Clinton in 1998, Paul Weyrich, a leader of the Christian political movement, The Moral Majority, wrote in the Washington Post that conservative Christians had, quote, lost the culture wars. His words implied that religion does not exert a strong or life-changing influence on the national scene. This may seem contradictory in light of the public's perception of the influence of churches and religion. The polls indicate 80% of Americans believe in God, yet Gallup polling shows church attendance has actually declined since the 1960s and has remained level since 1980 with no appreciable growth. Two-thirds of the population may claim membership in a church, but that does not always translate into attendance, much less the practice of a faith. Some evidence suggests that Americans tell pollsters they attend church when they really don't. And studies show that many more Americans tell pollsters that they attend church regularly than can be found in church when teams actually count. What about those who do attend church? What do they believe? And how does that translate into a living faith? Sociologist Alan Wolf has written a book entitled The Transformation of American Religion, How We Actually Live Our Faith. He traveled America interviewing people and observing churches. His conclusions are enlightening and sobering. He says that American religion has become mainstream enough to look like the popular culture of the land. He concludes that American culture has triumphed over religion. If so, then the power to halt societal decline does not rest in religion. It's lost its power. Wolf goes on to say, in the United States, culture has transformed Christ, as well as other religions found within these shores. In every aspect of the religious life, American faith has met American culture, and American culture has triumphed. On matters of fundamental biblical doctrine, things have dramatically changed. Talk of hell, damnation, and even sin has been replaced by a non-judgmental language of understanding and empathy. More Americans than ever proclaim themselves born again in Christ, but the Lord to whom they turn rarely gets angry and frequently strengthens self-esteem. Far from living in a world elsewhere, the faithful in the United States are remarkably like everyone else. Many large popular evangelical churches do not systematically teach or clearly define their doctrines because they want to attract the unchurched, the large mass of middle America who claim no attendance or affiliation. In a theological catch-22, Wolf states, evangelical churches lack doctrine because they want to attract new members. Mainline churches lack doctrine because they want to hold on to those declining number of members that they have. To benefit from faith, we must be willing to pay the price of repentance, commitment, and conversion. If one wants inner peace, God's blessing, and a resilient free country, then there must be a turn to God and a true faith unlike any experienced before. For there to be a turnaround in the United States that will reverse the cultural and moral slide, there must be a recognition that change cannot take place without a transformation from the values of the society to the values of the kingdom of God. With God's help, we can change ourselves, but we cannot change the world. Only God can change this world, and the Bible shows that will not happen until the return of Christ. Until then, the message of the kingdom is preached, and those who seek it must take it by force. Living by the values of the kingdom is a daunting task in today's world. The teachings of Christ shed an embarrassing light upon those whose work mirrors the kingdom of darkness. American religion is experiencing profound and far-reaching change. Sincere believers are on an odyssey looking for religious faith that defines the meaning of life and gives them answers for the dark hours of life. That need can only be fulfilled through belief in the life and teachings of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Christ requires a deep commitment, and in return, he promises to nourish and to feed our spiritual hunger. In John 6, Jesus said, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Again, Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said out of his heart, will flow rivers of living water." Take a good look at our booklet, The Church Jesus Built, to understand the place to find the biblical teaching and practice you need and want. You'll find there the church my mother found all those years ago, the church that satisfied her deep spiritual restlessness. For Longitude, I'm Darris McNeely. Keep listening.